song to sing at the end before we open our text this morning, because it's the words of Philippians chapter 4 in so many ways. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Great to be here at a full family service as we worship together as family, open God's word together, and pray and sing to our Heavenly Father. Well, this morning, we're going to conclude our study in Philippians with the last portion of chapter 4. I don't know about each one here, but from my perspective, it's been a great study. Amen? Amen? Great teaching, great solid biblical principles that we can rely on for our life as we live for the Lord. Our sermon series is titled In Christ, and each one of our weekly texts and teaching, there's been a key verse that has guided us through the main thought of each one of our passages. So just in a bit of a review, and I may ask some questions. I have some stuff here to give out, and they don't need to be just to young people, but they get preference. First of all, we started our study, the fellowship in Christ, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Our key verse was Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, we alluded to this in our singing, that he who has begun a good work in you or me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God for his faithfulness. Next, we talked about rejoicing in Christ, chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. Philippians 1, 21, 23. For me, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. What better? What confident hope we have in Christ. Our third, we talked about worthy of Christ, chapter 1, verse 27 to chapter 2, verse 4. Philippians 1, 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. We talked about standing together in unity for the sake of Christ. Brothers and sisters working as a body of Christ. Next, we talked about the mind of Christ. Chapter 2, verses 5 to 18. Our caption verse was Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And taking on the form of a bondservant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's the story of the cross of Calvary, that Jesus, the Son of God, the one who made all things by the word of his power, would come down in condescension, be found as a servant, to die on a cross that he would suffer your penalty and my penalty, that we might be made children of God. Amazing condescension of Christ for our salvation. Praise God. Next, we talked about the community of Christ. Chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. And Philippians 2, 29 was our verse. Receive him, therefore, talking about those brothers in the Lord. Receive them, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. And we talked about working together for Christ. Next, we talked about the righteousness of Christ. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Philippians 3, 9 says this. Great, great verse. Being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, Paul writing this, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The imputed righteousness of Christ accredited to each one who trusts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our righteousness is from him. Last Sunday, we talked about the peace of Christ. Chapter 4, verse 2 to 9. And our verse was, and it works very well with what we're going to read this morning, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding beyond our concept, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Promise peace through Christ. What an amazing study. What amazing principles and direction for us to park our life on. Well, this morning, we've come to our last in Christ topic. And you've heard already that our topic today is the sufficiency of Christ, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to 23. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. There's Mars bars, there's Kit Kat, and there's Hershey, whatever this is, cookies and cream, amazing. So just think about this, and I think I need the right answer, but I'm sure that whatever you say is going to be pretty close to the right answer. What does the word sufficiency or sufficient mean? Anybody? Young gets preference. Sorry, you're not young. Buddy back there, what do you think sufficiency or sufficient means? Oh, awesome. Are you kidding me? What do you like? Come on up. I'm not going to throw chocolate bars today. Absolutely. The Webster Dictionary says this. Enough to meet the need of a situation or a proposed end. You rip the bags open for me, buddy. But just take one, okay?
I'll take this one.
Oh, no, you can't take the whole bag. You got to rip the bag open. Okay. There's a man after my own heart. Rip it open and then just take one. Okay, so the Webster Dictionary says this. Enough to meet the need of a situation or a proposed end. My definition is just like my little friend here, all that you need. Isn't that what sufficiency is? Isn't that what being sufficient is? All that you need. Let's think about this as we read through our text this morning. So think about that word sufficiency and also try to pick out the key verse. My friend Molly DePietro is going to come up and read for us this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. Molly, come on up there. And that was an amazing flute you played this morning. Woof, woof. You need that. You're okay with that right there? Okay, 4, 10 to 23. It'll be on the screen here in the New King James Version.
But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid, and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Thank you very much. Amen. God's word is being read. Which one do you want, my love? There you go. Thank you very much, Molly. You did such a great job. So Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, again reiterating the fact that they've been very generous with their gifting and that he is thankful to the Lord for what they've done for the glory of God. Now, can anybody tell me what possibly could be the key verse of this passage that Molly did so well at reading this morning? I'm going to give you a hint. Verse 11. Verse 11 is going to be up there. Somebody? Verse 11. Okay, what do you think the key verse is? Someone read it, please. Beautiful. Mars bar for you, buddy. Not that I speak in regard to need. In other words, not that I need something, Paul writes. Thank you very much. But I've learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Wow, isn't that a statement of just amazing truth? Contentment seems to be an elusive quality in this world. We seem to never have enough. There's never enough of anything. We always want more, and it seems to fleet us in our desire to have and want and our path to that. So let me ask you another question. What does the word content or contentment mean? Okay, and when you have enough, it starts with S. What are you? Attaboy. Absolutely. So the whole idea of being content is to be satisfied. Thank you, bud. You're the best. So this word satisfied or satisfaction in the word contentment comes from the same root word. We find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. This is what the Apostle Paul writes again in 2 Corinthians. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency, is the word 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but all satisfaction or all contentment in all things. In other words, as we sang those songs, that God is everything that we need, and we're counting on Him, and He's the one that provides everything that we have and need and want, then in fact, God becomes the sufficiency or the contentment of our heart. Paul's telling the Philippians in this letter that in Christ he has found sufficiency and satisfaction regardless of his experiences. Paul did not have to be pampered to be content. He did not find his contentment in spiritual resources that were abundantly given to him by the Lord. Regardless of how many adverse situations, when we're going to go into the last part of our Acts study, we're going to study through some of the things that Paul endured. And if there was anything that was discouraging and problematic and severe, there were the things that he experienced in his life. And yet, he says, regardless of what those things, I've learned to be content. I found my contentment in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 12 that I found it in humble existence and I found it in prosperity. He lived both sides of that measure. He found it in being full and he found it in being hungry. Whatever his experience was in Christ, whatever the Lord had in store for him, he was content with whatever state he was found in. And Paul went through very many difficulties. Warren Wiersbe, in his book on Philippians, states this: contentment is not complacency, nor is a false peace based on ignorance. I don't know anything, I don't see anything. That's not what contentment is. Contentment is not an escape from the battle, but rather an abiding peace and confidence in the middle of the battle. We have sufficiency in Christ because Christ lives on us. We sang that. Lives in us. We sang that song. And we're adequate for whatever the demands of life because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So from this morning's passage, and I have to move right along, I've got three P's to give us reasons to be content, reasons to find, three P's. I always do that. I don't know why. I was a Boy Scout, I guess. Three reasons to find sufficiency and contentment in Christ. Number one is the providence of God, verse 10. Number two is the power of God, verse 13. And number three is the provision of God, verse 19. Remember that, guys, because I'm going to ask you the question. So let's start off with the providence of God. We start that off in verse 10. It had been 10 years since Paul had planted this church in Philippi. And as he planted this church and left that church, the church in Philippi supported him in his missionary journey, supported him for many years. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't support him anymore. For whatever reason, the reason's not told to us, but they did not have opportunity, we read this in our text, to give to Paul for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now they had been given this opportunity to support him again with the gift that was delivered by Epaphroditus to him from the church in Philippi, and we learned about that a few weeks ago. Paul's gracious attitude towards the delay in support that God, until God provided an opportunity, get this, he wasn't complaining. Hey, guys, I haven't heard you from you a long time. Where are you? Is anybody out there? That's not what he said. He said that there was an opportunity now given to them to then give to him in perfect confidence that in God's timing and in God's way, God will make the provision. That's key to this understanding, that it's not my timing, it's God's timing. Paul had need all the way through that, but the opportunity was not given to the church in Philippi until God made the opportunity. The word providence means God sees to it beforehand. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that God simply knows beforehand, but that he works in advance to arrange circumstances, get this, and situations for the fulfilling of his purposes. I'm going to say that again. The word providence, God's sovereignty, does not mean God simply knows beforehand, but that he works in advance to arrange circumstances and situations for the fulfillment of his purposes. God's providence, we can depend on that because of his sovereignty and his overreaching, overall control over all things present in this world. God's foreknowledge is more than the fact that he knows, but that what he knows, but what will happen, but that he purposes what will happen. A great example of this is in Genesis chapter 45, in the life of Joseph. You know the story, and some of you may not, so I'm going to just give you a brief snapshot. His brothers are jealous of him, sells him into slavery. He goes into Egypt. Doesn't have a great experience there, but then he's promoted to the second in command. And then as a second in command, he pools the resources of a country for a famine that was coming that God showed him clearly in a dream. And because of his resourcing pooling, there was many people that would be able to eat when there was no food in the land. And later on when he sees his brothers, this is what he says. This is clearly a fundamental truth from Scripture. God, in Genesis 45 and 5, God did send me before you to preserve life. God did the sending. Yeah, the brothers sold him into slavery, but God did the sending. And that's important for us to understand. Genesis 50, 21, Joseph says to his brothers when he meets them again, "Don't be afraid, for I am in the place of God." Isn't that great? This is God's direction in our life. "But as for you, you meant it for evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about saving of many people." This is the providence of God, his hand overruling in the affairs of life. The Apostle Paul experienced this divine providence in so many parts of his life and ministry. God's hand directing him. And this is what he writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Paul writes this, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And this is the secret part of this verse. "To them that are called according to his purpose." MacArthur would say this, life is not a bunch of accidents, but it's a bunch of appointments made by the eternal God of heaven. Psalm 32 in 8, this is what God says, "I will guide you with my eye." Genesis 22, Abraham calls God Jehovah Jireh, and that means the Lord will see to it and provide. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, the purpose of him, this is God, the Lord Jesus, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. See, we can have contentment in whatever happens in life because we know that God is in control. Isn't that a great spot to park? You know, I often think I would have, could have, should have. We all have lived that. And yet God, in his hand of sovereignty, has purposed the things that happen in our life, even though they may not be comfortable for us, but God has purposed them for his divine purposes and will. We can be confident, we can be content, because number one, God is sovereign in providence. Number two, the power of God. With the motor along. Verse 13. I love this verse. A lot of us have learned this through our years in Sunday school. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul depended on the power of Christ at work in his life. Regardless of what the need was, this is what Paul's motto was. I can through Christ. Not I can because I'm good. Not I can because I'm strong. But I can through Christ. Isn't that a great model for us to live our life by? Paul's saying that whenever he reached the limit of his resources and strength, even to the point of death, and we're going to learn about that in our Acts study, he was infused with strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could overcome the most severe physical difficulties because of the inner spiritual strength God gave him. In a different translation, J.B. Phillips writes this, in his modern English translation. This is how he writes this particular verse. I love this. I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. Isn't that great? I'm ready for anything. That's what I want to live like. I hope I have the confidence in the eternal God to say that whatever comes down the pipes, I'm ready for the strength. I'm ready because of the strength that Christ gives me, regardless. The Living Bible puts it this way. I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. Whatever God has in store for each one of us, be assured that God has given his strength to us to overcome those things that are in front of us. That's what Paul said. Regardless of what happens to me, I know that I can overcome by the strength that God gives. Remember John chapter 15 and verse 5, the Lord Jesus teaching about the vine and the branches? He says, just in case you didn't figure it out, you can't do anything without me. The fruit doesn't come from the vine, the branches, because it's connected to something else. It's connected to the vine. That's the reason for its strength. And that's the abiding that we need to have in Christ in order for us to be able to have that strength in our life. It's our obedient walk with the Lord that enables us to trust him in whatever the situation and understand that his power is overruling and he gives us the grace for the time. I love that old hymn that we sing, He Giveth More Grace. Isn't that great? When we run out of gas, when we're out of all our hoarded resources, God's grace has just begun. When we think we got everything stored up and we're ready for the fight, and yet at the end of the day, when we've run out of our power, God gives more grace. That's the strength we have in Jesus Christ. Strength from Christ gives us contentment and sufficiency. And the last is the provision of Christ, of God, the provision of God. Verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a mouthful. Paul did not see this gift, just a gift from the church in Philippi, but he saw it as a very gift of heaven, from the Lord, to provide for his need. He put his trust in the Lord to provide whatever was needed, and the church in Philippi stepped up through the providence of God to give the gifting and the opportune time that God allowed that to happen. There's also a giving principle here in this verse. And we think about our giving campaign that we're doing here for our Bethel Bible Chapel. And we think about what that looks like in terms of how God blesses. But there's a promise in here that my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Not all our greed, but all our need. And it's interesting that some theologians have rephrased those verses to do this, to say this. Talking about the church in Philippi and Paul, you met my need. This is Paul saying to the church, God is going to meet your need. You met my one need that I had, but God will meet all your needs. Isn't that amazing? And thirdly, you gave out of your poverty, but God will supply your need out of the riches of his glory. Isn't that great? We don't even know what that looks like. We read that in Ephesians, that in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his glory to usward in Christ Jesus. What is that? This is God's promise to his children, whether it's things that we expect in this world or not. Again, God says he's going to supply all of our need. Whatever that is, in the providential and sovereign care of God, God will supply out of not his spare parts, but of the riches of his glory. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we give out of, well, what I have in my pocket. That's all I have, so that's what I'll give you. God has given us of the resources of heaven itself. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to Africa who had very, very severe situations through his life and trusted God all the way through it. This is what he would say often to his congregation. When God's work is done God's way for God's glory, it will never lack for God's supply. We can trust that. When God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will never lack for God's supply. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm content in whatever situation I am because God is sovereign, and God has promised me, whatever it looks like, that out of the riches of his glory, he's going to supply all my need. You know, there's times when we sit down and we think about all the things that are coming on us and we are overwhelmed by that. And we need to step back and look at these promises from Scripture and say, this is what the Lord has promised. He's promised to supply his power for us and his strength. He's promised that nothing comes to us without going through his hands and his providential care. And that he has promised us a supply that we can't begin to explain as this world ends and we go into glory with him forever and ever. So, providence of God, power of God, and provision of God. Now, I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to start with just give me a couple of our previous titles of study that we had through our previous seven sermons and in Christ topics. Can you give me a couple? Sorry? Yeah, but what I'm looking for is the title, in Christ. So we had all the different in Christ titles. You remember we had fellowship in Christ? I guess that's all I'm going to say. Sorry? Yeah, peace of Christ. Okay, you get a chocolate bar. One more, come on. Mind of Christ. Who's there? Okay, you guys can come up here. You like Kit Kat? Peace of Christ, mind of Christ. Another one. Oh, you have a Mars list? Now we're being picky. It's a free gift and we're asking for a certain type. Okay, we got the peace of Christ, the mind of Christ. Give me another one. Sorry? Live as Christ. Absolutely. That's this life that we live together. You like Kit Kat? Okay. Okay. Now, one more thing. Three P's. I need someone to give me the three P's. One more. Yeah? Right on. Come on up here. Well, that was outstanding. Should I give you two for that? No, I think you... I think you got to give one to your buddy next door because I think he helped you out. That's how I got all my awards in school. I helped out other people. So we have the providence of God. God is sovereign. God has all his purposes planned out ahead of time. And there's nothing that's going to happen that's outside of God's care and control. The power of God, we can rely on him to trust him in the middle of circumstances that are beyond our capabilities. But God has given us the power through Christ who strengthens us. And God's provision is that he's going to supply all our needs as he's promised, both here and eternally in heaven. I'm going to leave you with the reading of the last verse. We'll repeat it, and the response at the end of this chapter, verse 19, Philippians chapter 4, "And my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We thank you for your direction to us. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your power by the indwelling Spirit. We thank you that we can learn the truths of Scripture through this Philippians study. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God over all things. We thank you, Lord, that even in the situations of our life that seem dire and distressful, that you're not taken by surprise. And Lord, we're thankful for your hand in our life. We ask, Lord, that you continue to guide us both individually of each one that's here.